That's kind of a good song to get into our next guest, because we're talking about some of the challenges of living in rural areas, especially in holiday times. And joining us are Jeff Winton and Nikki Schaefer. And Jeff and Nikki, good morning to you. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us who you were with, actually.
Yeah, so my name is Jeff Winton, and I am the founder and the chairman of Rural Minds. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is focused solely on rural America, especially the unique challenges that people who live in rural America have as it relates to mental illness. This organization, tragically, is a result of my 28-year-old nephew who died by suicide here on our family farm in upstate New York. And it became very apparent soon after my nephew's passing that not enough was being done in rural areas of our country to really illuminate this growing epidemic we're having of mental illness and suicide ideation.
I understand that Virginia has a lot of difficulties in this area.
Yes, the most recent statistics I've seen, Bob, is that there are currently estimated 1.1 million Virginians that are living with some type of a mental health condition, which is actually four times the population of Richmond. It's especially an issue amongst young people, high school students, aged 12 to 17. It's estimated that 56% of young people have depression and they're getting no care at all. We know that the rate of suicide amongst young people in rural areas is much higher than in urban and suburban areas. And certainly this is one of the areas of focus for both Rural Minds and some of the partnership work we're doing with Pfizer.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about and when it comes to this subject are social media networks and so forth having an effect on this in a negative way?
So I'll take that one. So this is Nikki Schaefer, and I am Pfizer's Senior Director of Employee Health and Well-Being, but also am a nurse practitioner that practices in a rural community in Pennsylvania. And so social media, we can only speculate how it can affect, but it can actually have positive and negative effects depending on how people view those resources. Some people could see it as connections. Some people see it as ways of social isolation. So there are many things that can affect and do affect people's mental well-being, including things like coming into the holidays where there are extra stressors that often get placed on people, whether it be financial or additional social commitments, or even just the concern about being around family or not having family to be around. So as you can see, it can affect mental health in so many different ways. What is sometimes seen as positive for one person could be seen as a challenge for others.
I can understand that, and it reminds me of a song by Merle Haggard that came out probably in the 70s, and the song was titled, "If We Make It Through December, We're going to Be All Right, I Know."
That is a good connected song, absolutely.
So if you can make it through the holidays, and so many people, I mean, even relatives of mine, would almost make it to the holidays and then get off on a bender or something, and it just was terrible. They couldn't handle the holidays.
Absolutely. And that's not uncommon, because at a time where we're already feeling stressed for those multiple reasons that I suggested, whether it be financial or just the commitments or expectations, we look at unhealthy coping mechanisms, some of which are excessive drinking, and even just that there are those opportunities for excessive drinking or consumptions of other substances because you're in more party situations, social situations, or trying to avoid them.
The other thing I would add as a dairy farmer is that this time of year is very difficult on people that work in agriculture because, unlike people that work more typical 9-to-5 jobs, if you live on a dairy farm like I do, those cows have to be milked twice or three times a day. It's very difficult to get to family functions unless the family functions are scheduled around your farm chores. So we find a lot of people in rural areas, especially farmers, that really struggle around any major holiday because they know they can't necessarily be with the rest of the family because of their commitments on their family farm.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but yeah, I imagine so. And the cows have to be milked 2-3 times a day. Is that true?
Yep.
I mean, it must be because you're...
Every day of the year.
Wow. And I suppose that you can't bring in part-time milkers to do the job just so you can attend the big feast.
It's hard to find farm labor to start with. And certainly there are very, very few people who want to work in farming anymore, especially on a dairy farm like my family farm, because of the labor intensiveness of the operation.
Are we having a problem in this nation about hard labor just in general and people not wanting to do it? There are not enough people who are open to that kind of a career?
Well, I would say, you know, from my perspective, again, living on a dairy farm and living in a rural area, it's very difficult to find help of any nature, but especially on a farm where you need people that don't mind getting up at 5 a.m, like the people on our farm do that start the milking at that point. They don't mind getting dirty. They don't mind working long hours. They don't mind doing this hard work for, you know, relatively low wages. And the fact remains that less than 3% of the population in the United States now lives or works on farm. And so the other 97% of people that are non-farming families really have no background or no interest in becoming involved in operations such as ours.
It seems to me that it used to be all family farms, and the members of the family would just participate, and it's what they did. Is that true?
Well, that's the way it used to be, and certainly was the way that I was raised. But now a lot of the farms that were in families are too small. Just like anything else in agriculture, dairy farming has become of such a scale that you have to continue to increase in size in order to be competitive. And what we find is that there are some large family farms, but many of them are now corporately owned, which obviously changes the dynamic, not only on the farm, but in that rural community.
I grew up in Los Angeles.
And if you think about that...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, if
yes,
we think about that in relation to the mental health topic that we're speaking about, the inability to have generation after generation with the family farms and the need for those farms to continue to get larger really increases that social isolation and loneliness as well as the financial strain, because it becomes very difficult to be able to keep up with everything when you don't have generation after generation. And as Jeff said, financially, you're looking at needing to continue to enlarge your farms to make it sustainable.
So what's a farmer to do? What's somebody who lives in the rural area? What are the solutions to this problem?
Well, it's a multifaceted issue, as you would imagine, because there are a lot of farmers, such as many of my family members, basically this is what they know. This is what they've done their entire lives from the time they were a two-year-old kid taking care of the baby calves on the farm. For me, I've had another career in addition to the farm, but that is fairly unique amongst many farmers now. And so it is something that many organizations, including Rural Minds, is tackling, working in conjunction with other organizations. In our case, in the state of New York, we're working with a part of the Agricultural College at Cornell University, has a program called FarmNet that is helping farmers to determine if their farm is no longer viable and if there's no one else in the family to take over, then what are the alternatives? What other types of occupations or careers can they have that would take the place of being a dairy farmer, a beef farmer, whatever type of commodity you're raising?
That's very interesting. Is there a possibility of changing things in the United States so that family farms are a viable possibility?
Well, I would say that there have been some developments that are addressing this that are helping somewhat, such as a lot of the organic farms. A lot of people that want to drink milk want organic milk. Our farm doesn't happen to be organic, but there are a lot of other dairy farms that are organic in nature. And those tend to be more run by smaller farm families. A lot of the smaller farmers are now making cheese, for example, where they then sell it from their farm or from a local store, as opposed to sending it to a big cooperative. So there have been a number of developments, but as Nikki rightfully so said, this is one of the major reasons we're having such a growing issue with mental health in rural areas. It's because the fabric of rural America has changed dramatically, because especially, again, speaking as a farmer, farming is more than a career. It's a way of life. And in the case of a family like mine, where we've been farming for many generations, if all of a sudden you are facing with a proposition that the farm will end with you, that's a huge burden. And so the work that we're doing and the work that Pfizer is doing in addressing this issue and acknowledging that people in rural America have fewer resources and are underserved when it comes to healthcare in general, but especially mental health, that we're hoping that we can, you know, redirect some of this conversation that's taking place.
Well, Nikki, what do you have to say about that?
I absolutely agree with Jeff. And this time of year adds even additional stressors, as Jeff said earlier, where you don't have all of the help. You can't go to family gatherings. And as you know, your farm may be ending in this generation. There's a bit of grieving that also comes with that. And so really learning and focusing on taking care of yourself at a time where you don't even think that there's another moment of time available to take care of yourself. You're so focused on keeping everything else afloat, it's really important to be able to look for ways to care for yourself and how to manage that those stressors, and how to seek support. Seeking support is super important. And we know that there are limited numbers of resources around, but there are ways to seek support in friends or family or professional help. And that can be in many different ways. And so it's very important that we look for opportunities to seek that support and manage stressors. And look for what realistic expectations you can set. Because as Jeff mentioned too, again, looking at what does the farm need to look like? What are my expectations going into these holidays? What are my expectations in general? Looking for ways to set more realistic expectations where you can.
That sounds very good. You know, when I was growing up, one of my favorite, I think it was the first grade or maybe it was the second grade reading class, we had Dick and Jane that we were reading. And one of the one of the books was Dick and Jane Goes to the Farm or something like that. And I was living in the Los Angeles area at the time, and I thought that was absolutely fabulous, that I wanted to live on a farm. And we went to the dairy one time in the second grade and saw milk and ice cream being made and all of that. But this was in the Los Angeles area, and I thought, one day I'd like to live near a farm. And it so happened that, and later as I grew up, The Waltons was one of my favorite television shows. And the interesting thing about it is that when I was looking for a radio station, I owned this station, as a matter of fact, and didn't have a whole lot of money. But anyway, when I was driving to see the station, I flew out from California and noticed that Schuyler, which was the actual town where Earl Hamner grew up, and it was sort of the setting for the Waltons, is within the coverage area of the station that I own. And it was, I said, oh, okay, I see this. I think I'll buy this station, because they didn't want very much money for it. But it seemed that the Waltons were a way of life that almost doesn't exist, or maybe doesn't exist anymore, but it sure was a good television show.
Yes, it was.
And I think where Jeff and I both live in rural areas, I'm in an area in Pennsylvania that I'm surrounded by farms everywhere. There's a high Amish and Mennonite population mm-hmm. in the area as well. And my best friend growing up lived on a dairy farm, and I just remember the amount of work to see everything mm-hmm. going into that. And I cannot imagine myself doing all of that in addition to keeping the rest of the household moving in the direction that it needs to go and raising kids. So kudos to those that are in that rural area and from the agricultural standpoint. But yeah, it does present different stressors in the rural communities that everybody deals with these stressors. I just think that in the rural areas, they are emphasized in greater proportion because of a lot of the other self-sufficient activities that we need to do. And there are less of those inner city conveniences. You can't just walk next door to the next store or the next anything that you need. And so all of that takes time and energy and really adds to the complexity of a day and really makes it even more challenging and more important for us to connect and find resources to help each other.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And families are a lot smaller these days
yeah.
than they used to be. I remember my grandfather had, I think, 12 kids in their family, and he was from the Midwest. And but he ended up with only three and was an electrician. But anyway, it's a lot to think of, and especially around Christmas time and Thanksgiving and all that. So where can we go to find out more information?
Well, I'd like to encourage your listeners to go to our website, which is ruralminds.org, and you will find a number of helpful resources that we have aggregated since we launched our nonprofit organization in memory of my nephew 3 years ago. We partner with a lot of other organizations, and so you can find a lot of material that isn't necessarily unique to things that we've put out there, but other resources that are very helpful. I also like to, especially this time of year, remind people of the 988 number. This is a number that went into effect 2 years ago this past summer, and it is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week helpline. So if someone at 2 a.m. is having a hard time struggling with negative thoughts and needs someone to talk to, someone who is going to keep the information confidential, somebody who will not charge you for that, the 988 number can either be called or texted to help you or a family member or a loved one through your time of need. And then they will also help you find other resources in the area in the coming days that can help you on this continuing journey.
Thank you very, very much for the 988 number, and also ruralminds.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
So I want to thank both of you for being with us, and it's a conversation that needs to continue, and maybe it will. But thank you so much for being with us, and wish you a very happy and cheerful Thanksgiving. I applaud what you're doing, and hope that you personally both have a wonderful Thanksgiving and happy holidays.
Thank you very much, Bob. We appreciate
it. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much. Bye now.